Blog Talk Radio.
Southern Smoke.
Killing them in the street.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Hey, my favorite three. My bitch, my money, my weed.
Weed.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Consume my favorite.
I'm smoking that shit you can get for the loan. I'm counting up dope finna hit up my home. I'ma pick her up, blow with her, then take her home. I'ma tear that ass up, I'm in that type of zone. I fuck with the loud, I can't leave it alone. I smoke it like squares, need a pack of my own. Smoking this weed, counting this money. About to get hit, I'm relaxing at home. I ain't stressing for shit, but these niggas is dope. They ain't hitting these hoes, they ain't getting no dope. They ain't rolling up dope, that's regular smoke. This shit I fuck with is a heavier dose. I chill with my bitch, she pulling the dope. I ain't asked her to do it, she already know she a ride of that bitch and I know it for sure. She all in for me like I am for my team. It's Prodigy, baby, we bout to be on. Hitting this road and doing these shows. We gon' count up this money and do it some more. And do it the most of the new money coming. While cheapin' on strong and it's out like we drumming. We all in, I said it, I meant it, we coming. There's players on top of the game or nothing. I'm doing this math, I'm smoking this gas.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Hey, my favorite three. My bitch, my money, my weed.
Southern Smoke.
In the mood for that feeling. We lit and I'm sipping. My bitch texted, she missed me. So I'm gonna slide through and go get her. Now I'm kicking it with my lady tonight. Put some old money in the safe for the night. Got some old weed, know I'm gonna blaze her right. Then I kiss that pussy like it saved my life. Yeah, I work that pussy like it paid my life.
Life.
My rent, my condo.
No,
yeah, I hop off in that shit like a fucking combo. In the corner, back up in the hood. Talking that money like a nigga got a crush. Shit, I got a thing for this money, getting this weed. Chip on my bitch, paper, get my gun.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Hey, them my favorite three. My bitch, my money, my weed.
Southern Smoke.
All I need is my weed.
Yeah.
So I can supply these smokers.
Smokers.
Time to close this deal.
Okay.
About to meet with my broker. All my niggas get blowed.
Yeah.
And they hate to be sober.
Sober.
On fuck with no bitch. Unless she got a mind like Oprah.
Go.
I can tell it's that time of the month. The way my fingers crap
okay.
Up. I'm counting all of this money. These rappers hate that I'm racked up. These niggas like my kids. They get punished when they act up.
Yeah.
They remind me of invested money. Cause y'all music career is wrapped up.
Okay.
All I do is count money.
Count money.
8 quarters and ounce money.
Ounce money.
All the bitches I fuck with.
Fuck with
is all about money.
About money.
Don't start no shit. Cause I got niggas that will fight for me.
Yeah.
For no fee before flat fee. They'll shoot and take your life.
I just wanna smoke my weed. Fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed. Fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed. Fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Hey, them my favorite three. My bitch, my money, my weed.
Weed.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
I just wanna smoke my weed, fuck my bitch and count my money.
Yeah.
Condemn my favorite three. My bitch, my money, my weed.
Weed.
I just wanna
smoke.
Yeah, here we are. Another Friday night with nothing to lose. Wow, how about that? That opening song with I Just Wanna from one of our featured guests here tonight, number one players out of Gary, Indiana, and that's from their latest mixtape called Put Us in the Game 2, second quarter, and they had a mixtape prior to that called Number One Players Put Us in the Game. These guys have a lot going on, and bring them on here in just a few minutes and discuss all that. But in the meantime, I'm going to bring on my my co-hosts here, Mr. Michael D. Kaczynski and Dr. Quinn. Hello. Hello,
yeah,
Dr.
Hola,
Quinn.
Mr.
Hello, Dr. Quinn, you there?
I'm here.
Well, how about that? Dr. Quinn shows up on time for once. Reverend Dr. Quinn.
Blow it away.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Where's Walter Beck? Walter Beck. We'll put an APB out for him. Maybe he'll show up here again real soon. But yeah, wow.
I'm playing a booze run.
A beer run? I bet. No, he doesn't drink beer. He drinks some of that hardcore
stuff. Booze. Wild
Turkey
101.
Right, he's a boozer. He doesn't dick around with that cheap ass beer, really. But yeah, wow, we have a great lineup tonight. You know, number one player out of Gary, Indiana, excellent rap band, and they have a great story. So, I mean, it's just you've heard about, you know, the CBS Sports thing and all that, how they kind of got connected with that, and everything's just kind of been, you know, a springboard from there, and it's going to be really cool, and they have a really cool sound. I like the sound, and it's going to be fun to talk to them, and, you know, our other guest later tonight, for the second hour, is going to be Pleasant Gaiman. She is, oh my gosh, she's like a Renaissance woman. I mean, she writes poetry, she is an actress, she's a professional belly dancer, and, yeah, she's going to be very interesting to talk to her and see what she has, you know, tell us and all that. And she's from out of Hollywood, California. But anyhow, you know, currently here, I find it kind of creepy, this whole cyber stalking thing. Mr. Kaczynski, we recently talked about, you know, this whole satellite photos thing. I think you recently just stalked me online via a satellite. Is that correct? I mean,
I did more than stalk you. I surveyed your own neighborhood and did reconnaissance.
And isn't that creepy that somebody can do that? I mean, that is, I mean, that's not something. I mean, as far as, like, privacy goes, and as far as, like, you know, freaking 1984.
I drove through your whole neighborhood on my computer.
Right. Now, okay, so have you...
everything.
Yeah, and isn't that kind of a weird and creepy thing that people can do that so easily? They can find out your phone number, your address. They can see your house. They can see your neighborhood.
Well, I actually had to use your wife's name to find out your address. When I looked at you, I got your mom's. Remember, I got everything to do about your mom when I looked at you.
Uh-huh.
I got her address, her phone number.
Stalking my mom too, huh? You want to prank call her tonight, baby? Yeah, no, probably not a good idea. I promised her we would never prank call her anymore. So, I mean, what do you guys think about this? I mean, this is Big Brother. I mean, this is 1984. This is, you know what I mean? It's just, what is privacy nowadays? What constitutes privacy? Is there any
Nothing.
Such thing in this new cyber age as privacy? Honestly, what do you guys think?
Nope, not at all.
Nope, yeah, exactly.
There's no
okay.
such thing as privacy.
<There's none.
laughs> I mean, honestly, if we're going to be honest, you know, if you can look up something like that, and here's something even creepier, you do know that if you take pictures with your phone, if you don't turn off the geotagging, somebody who knows what to look for can find out exactly where you are
on the picture. Yep, they can trace you all the way back to where you took it. It's crazy.
Yep.
Wow.
Crazy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys have obviously traced me to this whorehouse I've checked into, and I'm broadcasting live from right now.
No.
In Illinois.
I haven't.
what are you wearing in the whorehouse?
I'm wearing a diaper and nothing else. It's a soil diaper, and you know what? The whores, they don't care. Probably because I paid them. No. But seriously, yeah, we have a great show lined up tonight. And you know, I thought Walter Beck was going to be on here soon so we could talk about his... He has a new Saturday night show that he has going on. It started last week. Yeah.
Walter Beck has it. Isn't he had it down for the for his Civil War reenactment business?
I was hoping he would be able to make it down for the 100,000 billion trillion poets for change tomorrow in Danville, Illinois, but I don't know if he's going to be able to. I mean, you know, given the fact he is a Civil War reenactor and and a poet and a writer and all that, you would think, wow, that would be killer made for him. But I don't know. I don't know if he can. He seems to be like a busy guy. He has a lot going on. But he has this show called The Rainbow Asylum that he co-hosts with Mr. Mike Shipley, a.k.a. Mikester. And it's on Saturday night, I guess, 11 p.m. Eastern time. And I guess their call-in number is 347-308-8386. And I listened into their first episode, and it was pretty good, actually. It actually cracked me up. But yeah, hopefully Walter Beck, when he's done with his booze run, he can join us here. But anything else, guys? We got the 100,000 poets thing for change going on here tomorrow, right here in Illinois, Danville. We're going to be hanging out in a little hut in a park with a bunch of old war
right now. What are you going to change? What are you going?
What am I
going to
change?
Driving for change. Yeah, you're tired.
I have to change my underwear at least once this weekend.
I will diaper,
underwear.
Definitely change my diaper at least once. I'll soil it. And I will. I have a union teppy. I'll be wearing a union teppy and rainbow suspenders. A teppy. Oh, okay. See, you obviously, Dr. Quinn, you have no idea about the Civil War and what soldiers really wore during the Civil War. Wow. Gonna have to give you some education there on that, Dr. Quinn. seriously, it'll be a fun time. It's gonna be a fun time. We're gonna have like food, booze, and all that good stuff, and hang out in the park, and probably go out, you know, barn hopping afterwards. We're gonna change something. Maybe we'll change our moods. We'll be like in a shitty mood at first, and hungover, and then go at it. Couple hours later, they're bar hopping. But yeah, it's always a good time.
Booze makes you feel better.
absolutely. Dr. Quinn, did you have some football games this evening or what?
I did. I covered a game tonight, and it was Andrean versus Highland. It was a complete shutout.
Oh yeah.
Andrean beat shit out of Highland, 42-0.
Okay, are you getting more adept at covering the football and learning more about it?
No. You know, again, I can do the after, I can do the interviewing, but stats are still... I got through probably the first quarter, but the big joke tonight was how I lost the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, there was a game... And by 9:30, it was like, okay, game's over. And I was like, well, wait, is it because of the slaughter rule? No.
They have a slaughter rule in high school football?
No.
Wow, I didn't.
No.
Or they call it the mercy rule.
Yeah.
Mercy rule, not slaughter rule. Come on now.
Well, okay, mercy, whatever, but that wasn't what happened. That was... I actually just went ahead and missed the whole third quarter, or most of it. Or no, it wasn't the third quarter. It was the fourth quarter that I missed.
I was going to say, there are four quarters in a football game.
But no, I know that. I know that. But, yeah, so all of a sudden...
It's the name quarter.
Derp. So, yeah, the fourth quarter just completely disappeared on me. I don't know where it went.
So here's the fun thing. Dr. Quinn, where exactly is it? You live there in northern Indiana, pretty close to Gary, Indiana?
I don't live in Gary. I live in I live in a town next to Gary. I touch Gary.
Okay.
I touch its very west side.
Very west side. Okay. So, well, you know, one of our featured guests here, number one players, which is actually a trio.
I know. Are they all
yeah,
yet?
From
or?
Gary, Indiana. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, that's, you know, the Midwest and everything with a cool rap band like that. They have some really cool stuff going on. And, yeah, you know, it's a trio. We got T. Turner, O. Dog, and Playo and all that. And we're going to bring them on here in just about, you know, just a minute or so. But, you know, I want to play real quick before we bring them on. I want to play their little tune from that was featured for CBS Sports Inside College Football, which, you know, I saw this video and I heard the song. It blew me away. It blew me away. We're going to play it and we're going to bring them on, okay? Here we go.
Can't wait for the kickoff. I'ma run downfield faster than Sonic the Hedgehog. I blitz, got the other team puzzled. Jigsaw, Mr. Rounder threw the ball and double covered.
It's game time and I'm in it. Gonna run this like Emmy. They say that I'm the one, like a dollar or a penny. And that I'll never audible in practice or a scrimmage. Your game, I'm the same. I can taste the Hall of Fame.
Every day I'm getting ready for the game. I gotta be ahead of the rest. I don't use words like competition, cause it ain't none. We the best. What we want, the BCS. Put it in our GPS. The whole world watching us. CBS Sportsnet.
Inside College Football.
Yeah, man, and that was number one players. They somehow got involved with CBS Sports, and I think that was a big springboard for them. You know, I'm going to bring number one players on right now. I'm not sure which if it's going to be Teaching or O-Dog or Playo here we have on, but I'm going to bring them on here. Here we go, and let's talk about this. You know, their latest mixtape, actually, is Put Us in the Game 2, second quarter. And they have another mixtape called Number One Players, Put Us in the Game, out already. Let's bring them on.
Hello.
Hello, Number One Players, you there? Hello,
yeah.
Number One Players. Hey, who we talking to? T-Turner, O-Dog, or Playo? Is this Playo?
You listen. I'm talking to all of us.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Oh, all three of you guys are there. Sweet. All right. Wow, man. I tell you what. When I first saw that video for the – I'm a huge football fan, college, NFL, whatever. I saw it. I was like, "Wow, blown away!" And then I saw the college basketball thing you guys did. That's just amazing. I mean, amazing, and it's really good. How did that come about? I mean, well, first of all, before we even go there, how did you guys all come together and form Number One Players? I mean, how'd that even come about? What was the origin?
Well, number one, as far as the group, the Number One Players, the name of Number One Players. You want to know how that came about?
Uh-huh. How long have you guys known each other? How long has this sort of this collaboration been going on?
This Playo, me and O-Dog, we actually brothers. Uh-huh. We grew up together, so, yeah, we brothers. We grew up together. We the ones that thought of Number One Players as the group, and we met T. Turner back in, like, 2001 when we were staying in Hammond, Indiana. We heard him on somebody else's mixtape. We was like, man, this dude, cause he can rap. So we snuck him. Back then we was kids, so we had to sneak him in the house because my daddy wasn't. He didn't want us to have company, so we snuck him. So we snuck him in the house to do music. And ever since then, you know, he been rocking with us, and all three of us been number one players ever since then. And in 2005 is when we really started spending money on our career and started doing shows and really trying to get ourselves out there.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay. See, I'm really fascinated by this whole genesis and origin of Number One Players and how you guys got involved with CBS Sports. I mean, I understand it had something to do with a local basketball player there, right? I mean,
which one?
How, Huh?
I know. I was asking the gentleman which one. Which basketball player?
Yeah, we did a song about Cody Zeller.
Cody Zeller.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
Cody Zeller. And how did that? I mean, how? What's your affiliation with Cody Zeller? Is he into you know, rap and music or anything like that?
I mean, we've been out there in Bloomington, Indiana. We've been out there campaigning and marketing our music. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, Indiana University, their basketball team was they was like in first place. They were doing real good. So you know what I'm saying? A couple of people out there in Bloomington was like, it'd be a cool idea for y'all to do a song after they basketball star Cody Zeller, you know what I'm saying? So we actually did it, and it just, like, took off from there.
Hey, guys,
wow.
Is Cody a local boy, or?
You say that? Say that again?
I said, is Cody a local boy?
No, actually, he just got drafted to the NBA.
Right, but is he from our parts or not?
Yeah, he was, Yeah, he's from Washington, but he transferred to IU Bloomington out here in Indiana. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So everybody kind of, like, supported him. He was a big asset to the team. So, you know, we just got behind that and we just took off from there.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, but he wasn't from NWI originally.
No. I believe he's actually,
okay.
He's originally from Washington, but he transferred to IU Bloomington.
Okay, that's cool.
All right.
Well, okay, so here's what I find fascinating, too, is, okay, so how did you guys approach to be a sports? I mean, how did you, okay, you did this whole Cody Zeller tribute kind of song or whatnot, and for CBS, you know, sports. I mean, how did that, I mean, I find that fascinating. How did you guys get in contact with them? Did you, I mean, how did that happen? I mean, that's really amazing
to me. It was amazing, you know, how they contacted us because, I guess we did that video for Cody Zeller and we put it on YouTube. And some type of way they seen it on YouTube and they emailed us and asked us for permission to air the music, air the Cody Zeller song on Inside College Basketball. So we gave them permission to do it. They aired it twice. They aired it a couple times, actually. And then they asked us, they said, well, we want you guys to do the theme song for Inside College Football. You guys think y'all can do that? And we were like, yeah, we can do it.
Wow.
We went in the studio. We created the song. We sent it to them. You know, they liked it. They just wanted us to change a few little things. We changed a few little things for them. And next thing you know, they was flying us to California, to Pasadena, California, and to film the video at the Rose Bowl Stadium.
That is
What's that like to turn that on and see your song as the theme song, man?
Man, coming from Gary, Indiana, man, that shit is real huge for us because right now we the faces of Gary, Indiana on national TV. So right now that's real huge for us and for the whole city and whole.
Yeah, I find it completely amazing too, and I love that video. The little, you know, the little 1 minute strip, you know, with the song for CBS Sport. College football, it's just, I'm an Ohio State boy, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I'm an Ohio State fan, and there's a lot of, like, little clips in that video from Ohio State, seriously, though, it's really good, and man, that has to be, like, one hell of an experience to fly out there, California, to do that. What was that like for you guys? Doing, you know, making a video. I mean, how long did it take and all that? I mean,
I mean, it was definitely a stepping stone for us, you know what I'm saying, just to actually be treated like artists, you know what I'm saying? CBS actually flew us out, paid for the plane tickets, you know what I'm saying? The hotel was all good, you know what I'm saying? Everything was good. We got picked up in a real nice car, you know what I'm saying? The service was real good. But, you know, once we got out there, it was strictly business, you know what I'm saying? We got on the set at about 5 o'clock p.m. We didn't leave at about 1 o'clock a.m., so, you know what I'm saying? We definitely put it.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I have a lot of experience in, like, filmmaking, and I've been involved with making commercials and films and stuff like that too. Absolutely, it's long and it's grueling. Yeah, it looks glamorous when it's all done and edited and all that, but the actual process, man, it's fun and exciting. But at the same time, it It's kind of rough. It's this long hour.
At the end of the day, it's definitely work. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people think it's all fun. You know what I'm saying? But you really
right.
got to, you know what I'm saying, focus and you got to work.
Absolutely. But, man, this has been a great stepping stone for you guys. I mean, that's amazing that you guys made that leap, you know. And, okay, so did you guys have number one players, your first mixtape? Like, did that come out, like, just prior or what to this whole experience?
Our first mixtape put us in the game. That was our first mixtape as number one players we actually put out. Online, number one players. We actually dropped a mixtape. We actually dropped an album in 2003 called Can You Relate when we was in high school, and we passed it out in the high schools and in this area and stuff like that. But number one players been a name around Gary for a long time. We just now finally getting our national exposure, and we finally reaching out to the people that we need to reach out to get us out there.
And you guys, you have your own label called POTOTG, which stands for Players on Top of the Game, correct?
Exactly. And to pronounce that is Prodigy. Prodigy Records. Like Prodigy, but take the R out. Prodigy.
Cool. I like that. Wow.
Yeah. So we got a lot going on, and you know, we just trying to continue to continue to make moves and capitalize PBS Sports opportunity. You know what I mean?
Right. So what's that PBS Sports experience? I mean, has it helped? I mean, did that help you guys? Like, I mean, it's helped you with exposure, obviously, but has it helped you guys financially to, keep your vision going and keep your art going as far as making these mixtapes, et cetera?
Yeah, it's kind of like. It's kind of like I'm gonna use a metaphor for you. It's kind of like rehab. It's kind of like rehabbing the house, right? You know, when you buy a house, you buy a foreclosed house that need work done. You know, you gotta spend all this money to fix it up. We was that foreclosed house that needed to be fixed up. CBS came through and invested money in us and fixed us up and raised our market value up. Now we can charge for our services and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. There's not a damn thing wrong with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's what it's about. It just pretty much stepped us up, especially in our area. Everybody out here know that we on TV, and you know we right now we got paid a couple features already. People have paid us for a couple features, do a couple features already. So you know it pretty much raised our market value up. We're grateful for it, but at the end of the day, you know what I mean? We definitely appreciate the opportunity, but, you know, the buck don't stop here. You know what I mean? We got to work harder now. You know what I mean? We got to work harder because we got to accomplish something better than that now.
Right.
So you guys have more going on with CBS Sports? Any more potential? I mean, you've done the basketball thing. You've done the college football intro. You guys, do you guys have like an exclusive contract with them or anything, or has this like opened things even wider for you guys with others?
The contract we signed for them was just for the football, for the college football season. I don't know what they have up their sleeves as far as we're working with us in the near future, but right now we just signed the contract for the football thing to be on TV. We're on TV about 2-3 times a week, every day. I mean, every week.
You can't beat that. I mean, especially coming from Gary, Indiana, you know, I mean, you don't hear, I mean, the Midwest, I think, at this point, has become sort of a hotbed, and not only for, you know, like rappers, artists, musicians, poets, or whatnot, but it's kind of a hotbed. The Midwest is kind of a hotbed, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, rap music and all that. You always hear about East Coast versus West Coast and all that crap like that.
Right.
You know what? The whole Midwest, you know, it has its own culture too, man, and it doesn't get represented enough, I don't think. And I think it's really cool that you guys have, you know, you're going beyond that whole East Coast versus West Coast stereotype that I think a lot of people, you know, think
at
is.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Today, it's about, you know what I'm saying, it's about time for the Midwest, you know what I'm saying. We've been undercover for so long. Like you say, it's been East Coast, then it's been West Coast, then it's been South, you know what I'm saying? So it's pretty much our turn, you know what I'm saying? The game's shifting over to the Midwest right now, literally where everybody knows, you know what I'm saying? All these other coaches, they did good. They did their thing, you know what I'm saying? I give them props in the whole nine, you know what I'm saying? The game finna shift over to the Midwest, you know what I'm saying? We just happy and appreciative to be like, you know what I'm saying? We represent Gary, Indiana, you know what I'm saying? We putting it out there with the whole CBS thing, you know what I'm saying? So we just gonna take it from there.
Yeah, that is awesome. And then how is this going for you guys with the number one players put us in the game and put us in the game two, second quarter? How's that working out for you guys? I've noticed you guys have gotten tons and tons of downloads and hits.
Definitely. It's doing real good, man. Like when we came back together as a group, you know what I mean? We actually had to start from scratch. Like, we didn't have no music as a group because we were all doing solo projects prior to this. But you know what I'm saying? We done put together the first mixtape. We was on college campuses on the road, you know what I'm saying, promoting, marketing, campaigning. We were still recording the mixtape, you know what I'm saying? We did that, dropped the next one. We got an EP coming soon, too, you know what I'm saying? Put us in the game. Halftime show is definitely coming soon, you know what I'm saying? So they can look forward to that.
You guys have all this going on, but as far as, let's see here. Hold on a second.
I've got a question.
Okay, what?
Okay, guys, where are you calling from right now?
We're calling from Gary, Indiana right now, 219.
Well, I know exactly I know you're calling from Gary, but where exactly in Gary are you?
We're in the studio right now.
Okay.
Studio.
Where's the studio?
Working late?
Yes. Say that again?
I said, where is the studio?
We on 5th right now. We on 5th Avenue.
Okay.
We right by the Railcat Stadium.
Okay. So, I could, like, be there in, like, 15 minutes. That's what I'm saying. Where exactly are you? Because I know exactly where you guys are at.
Come too. You know what I'm saying? We party. You know what I'm saying? We popping bottles right now. You know what I'm saying? We having a good time.
All right. Well, that's what I like to hear.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, here's my next question is, okay, how involved are you guys when you're, you know, doing one of your albums? How much are you involved as far as the technical aspect, as far as engineering and all that?
We do everything. Only thing we don't do is make our beats. We deal with other producers, but as far as mixing and mastering, and recording ourselves, we do all of that, all ourselves. Like, we do all the engineering. We do all that work ourselves. Yeah. Like, I heard you play I Just Wanna, and I heard you play the CBS song. Like, if you hear the quality on that, that's all us. So we did all that ourselves.
Really?
Excellent.
Wow.
Look, check this out. When we first started recording, we decided that we wanted to do music when we was about 8, 9 years old. We asked our father to buy us like a little karaoke machine, remember the walkie-talkies back in the day? Boom, it was like a boom box. It was like walkie-talkie boom box, but we could record ourselves. And ever since then, we've been upgrading our recording. We've been learning about, you know, studios and how to perfect our sounds. And we've been recording ourselves since we was about 8, 9 years old. We haven't never been out of studio since then.
So you guys have your own little studio that you put together, how's that collaborative thing work for you guys?
I wouldn't say little studios, but yeah, we definitely got our own studio.
A big
we work
studio.
In Pro Schools, MacBook Pro, you know, we got the whole professional setup.
Wow, professional setup. So you engineer your own albums and songs or whatnot. Do you do that also and produce for other musicians?
You know what?
You know what? We used to have a studio on Broadway in Maryville, and we used to open that up for the public for people to come in and record their music, and we charge them a little small fee. But you know what? Somebody broke into it and tried to steal all our equipment. We later found out who did and got all our equipment back. And ever since then, I'm not too fond about letting people into my studio.
I would imagine.
Wow.
So we just record ourselves. We got private studio sessions. We don't bring nobody in our studio. Like, you know, this is our career. This is how we make our money. This is how we provide for our family. So, you know, I don't want to bring nobody in here to try to sabotage my shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so have you guys performed live? I mean, have you guys performed some live performances?
Oh, yeah, we got a show coming up October 25th with Keisha Kayua. We opened up for national artists like Soulja Boy, Yo Gotti, Future, Waka Flocka, Juvenile, Yin Yang Twins when they was doing their thing.
Oh my God.
Trina.
Wow.
Wiz Khalifa. You know, the list goes on.
We share
the same stage with a lot of national artists that's in the game right now.
Really? And what's that experience for you guys? I mean, what's it like performing live? I mean, it's got to be a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, how do you feel before you get up on stage? I mean, how do you psych yourselves up? I mean, that's performing live is one thing. Doing a music video, you can first take, second take, third take, you mess up or whatever. But to be up there in front of a live audience and, you know, put yourself out there like that, it's a total different experience. I mean.
Right. I mean, I would say, you know what I'm saying, every time we perform, it's always a little different, you know what I'm saying, because every crowd is a little different. But at the end of the day, once I get that mic in my hand and I hear my voice come out those, and then I look in the crowd and I look a couple people in the eyes and I see that they vibing with us, you know what I'm saying, it's like I'm right at the crib, you know what I'm saying? It just feels good. I love it.
All right, well, you know what? Hey, how about we play another one of your songs here, and we'll come right back, okay? We're going to play...
Can't play me, ho.
Ho? Can't play me, ho? Here we go.
Can't kill him!
Too hard to be known too, bitch.
Southern smoke!
Get it, bitch. 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 Get
Don't try to play me, no, don't try to play me. I'm a motherfucking man for anything, plus I'm a player on top of the game. We ain't not none of these sucker motherfuckers that you fuck with. Keep it player, baby girl. She be lying like it's nothing gay. She talking like she ain't really got a nigga but an ex. Always hit the cell phone up at night. She say he the stalking type, she a bullshitter. Want two teams to call a stadium home like the Staples Center. Don't try to play a player, baby. Get an unstable nigga. I can't go like my daddy told me no. But I fuck her like a hoe. Pussy ass in a throat. So vulgar. They say they want that real, but I'm they can handle the sugar coated. You can say I'm straight to the point, but you can't never call me bogus. But you can call me over for a night of fun. And I can touch your body like that's on Mariah's son. Take your breath away like a fired gun, like a tired lung. Just don't stop lying.
No, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Get it, bitch.
It's your boy Playo, number one players in this bitch. Freddie Gibbs, I see you. Hey, how the fuck can I trust you when you always lying? Why do fools fall in love? Ask Frankie Lyman. I ask myself the question like I'm studying for a final. I try to convince myself I don't love you. Now that's denying you. Like a scratched up CD, bitch, you can't fucking play me. Now you can't touch me like I got rabies. Every bitch I fuck with, I score like I'm Katie. Even if you had pepper spray, bitch, you couldn't faze me. I must have been sprayed with bug repellent, cause bitch, I'm off you. Every time I speak the name, I get a taste that's awful. And since I'm a bad boy, I was gonna pay for your law school. How can I lead you when you don't listen to what I taught you? I remember when I told your mother her daughter's hot. Nah, I don't trust you, my heart protected like an Autobot. You tried to play me, but I caught your ass in an act. These niggas talk that shit, but I'm really seeing stack.
No, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Get up, now get it, bitch.
Turner, a.k.a. Stunner. Yeah, I ain't finna play these games. This bitch ain't worth my quarters. She broke out of order. Give me that top, I ain't going no lower. First she said her head wasn't killing. Now she wanna talk to her lawyer. I seen plenty hoes on the stand, and they pleaded after the fourth one. These hoes ain't working hard. Doing dick support them. I'm like free orgy and oral. Niggas tricking off, it ain't normal. I ain't breaking bread with these hoes. I'd rather be my dick to a porno. I want pure head, no cut. Let them lame niggas be a Zorro. Get your face an ice cream paint job, baby, I can be your Doro. I see your head on my head, so I'ma tag you in this photo. She wanna smash, but I'm gon' pass, cause I want what's above her torso. I ain't no Mexican, I don't need cat, but I'ma get head, cause fucking is boring.
No, you can't play that hoe. No, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Nah, you can't play that hoe. Get up, now get it, bitch. Now get it, bitch. Get up and get it, bitch. Get up and get it, bitch.
So, hey, guys. All right. Number one player.
Yeah.
T. Turner, O-Dog, and Playo. I got to ask you guys, what's some of your number one influences as far as rap music and or any type of music, and why did you guys get into, you know, the whole musical thing? I mean, I know some of mine. I can tell you some of mine, but I would like to hear some of your influences.
Where? I'm gonna answer, then I'm gonna let everybody answer. We're gonna all tell you guys who our major influences are. This Playo right now. My major influence in this music game, I'm gonna keep it real. Like, I was watching Master P, like, when he was coming up, selling the CDs out the truck, like, that really influenced me. Like, man, if he can do that shit, I can do it. You know what I mean? Like, He really made a real impact on me, letting me know that I could push my music out the trunk, and that's what we started doing. That's what we, after a while, we started pushing my music out the trunk. We had sold about 10,000 to 11,000 copies out of our trunk in Gary, Indiana alone. So I see it'd be my as far as business wise, it'll be one of my phones. But as far as musical wise, I got to give it up to Tupac, because Tupac touched a lot of souls. Tupac touched a lot of people out here, and that's what I want to do with my music. I want to touch people, you know what I mean? I want people to be able to relate to my music, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's Playo, my inspirations, you know, I'm out.
What it is, it's your boy Odog. I mean, musical inspirations for me, I would say, of course, like you said, people like Master P, people like Jay-Z. I respect Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying, because he's a businessman. He got in the game. People like, even like Rick Ross, you know what I'm saying? Rick Ross, he bossing up right now in the game, you know what I'm saying? He came in as an artist, you know what I'm saying? Now, you know, he the captain of his team. He got his own label, you know what I'm saying? He putting out his guys, you know what I'm saying? Everybody eating, everybody getting rich, you know what I'm saying? So that's my whole outlook with this whole music, you know what I'm saying? Let's all eat, let's all get rich. So I'm going to just keep it at that. Hold on.
What's up? It's your boy, T. You hear me?
Yeah,
this is boy turn. Some of my major influences will have to be all the independent artists, you know what I'm saying? Such as Tech N9ne, you know what I'm saying? Like, he became a millionaire out being independent. Mac Miller, I'm pretty sure he touched the mill by now being independent. Like, I'm all for independent, man. Like fuck a record label, man. You can do it yourself, man. You're going to appreciate it more, you know what I'm saying? Putting in all the grind. And struggling and putting your all into it. You know what they say, like, if you get some easy money, this shit gonna go fast and you ain't gonna appreciate it. But when you work hard for something, man, you're gonna appreciate that shit. And I feel like, you know what I'm saying, independent artists, they know what it is. They know what it means to, you know what I'm saying, have to work hard for something. So I'm all for the independent grind.
Oh, yeah. The independent artists, be it musicians, writers, poets, painters, or comic book creators or whatnot. Yeah. And you know, that's something I find fascinating too, is all this technology we have at our hands right now as far as musicians and everything. I mean, wow. Think about the generation before us, or, you know, 20 years before us. We didn't have all
the technology
accessible to us. It's amazing what we can do with all the social networking and everything else. How much do you think that has benefited you guys as far as, you know, the social networking and the technology and the internet? I mean, that it's a big deal.
I mean, technology and internet definitely have benefited us in a great deal, because, like, we can put our music out on deadpiff.com for free.
Right.
Everybody can download it. You know, we don't have to, you know, everybody around the whole world can download our music for free. You know, we don't have to go to them personally and give them my mixtape. So the internet works for us a great deal. And, you know, but we also put a lot of work in ourselves as far as footwork. We'll go out and pass out our CDs. Like right now, we pressed up 10,000. I repeat, 10,000 copies. And we passing out in IU Bloomington, you know, for free, you know, basically for free. So, with the 20,000 downloads that we got online, add that with another 10,000 copies that we put out for free on our feet, you know what I mean? And, you know, men lie, women lie, numbers don't, you know? And them just numbers that we doing right now.
Wow. Man, yeah, that's – yeah, and it's a double – you know, if you want to, like, use a metaphor, it's sort of like a – two-front war. You know, you got the internet, you got all that access, get as much exposure as you can on there, but then you also have to go out and hit the streets on foot and try to distribute and expand as much as you can in that way too. And wow, that's very admirable, man. That's cool. And you know, that takes a lot. I mean, damn. Yeah. Okay.
I'm being serious.
I've been involved in all this stuff in my own way, so I know exactly where you guys are coming from. I'm not a musician, but I'm a publisher or whatnot and all that. So I know I've been down that avenue, and I find that very admirable that you guys, even though you got all this exposure online, you still do the bricks and mortar sort of like established sort of like, okay, we're handing out our stuff, here it is.
To be honest, man, that's like a big step in this game, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing that the internet can do. It can kind of like disable artists, you know what I'm saying? If you look, I feel like if they depend just on the internet, solely on the internet, and they don't want to put in no footwork, you know what I'm saying? Then I
right.
believe that it kind of enable the artist. So we definitely hit the pavement hard. We definitely push a lot of units. We push flyers out there, posters out there. We trying to be
yeah.
seen as much as we can be seen.
Absolutely. Flyers and yeah, absolutely. It requires getting out there and physically. I mean, yeah, the internet is one thing, but getting out there physically and making a true connection with your audience and your potential audience or potential new fans, yeah, that is awesome, man. Gosh, you guys have your shit going on, I'm telling you. You guys ain't number one players for no reason.
No, even if you listen to the record label, man, it's called Players on Top of the Game, you know what I'm saying? So we definitely try to stay on top of our shit, man. We ain't trying to get in the game like a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying? We ain't trying to get in the game and be starstruck, you know what I'm saying? We ain't trying to get in the game and, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people get in the game kind of fresh and kind of naive, you know what I'm saying? We ain't trying
right.
to get in the game like we trying to have our business together, you know what I'm saying, have our focus together. We done did business with a gang of celebrities already, so, you know what I'm saying, we way past that phase of being excited off somebody's status, you know what I'm saying? So
you're right.
We just out here taking that business, man. We trying to get to that finish line, put us in the game. That's the whole campaign.
Right. So the whole dynamic between the three of you, like, I have to ask you, as far as, like, coming up with lyrics and or whatnot for each song, what's that interaction like for the three of you as a trio? I mean, I've never interviewed a trio of from a rap group together. I mean,
we're gonna be the best trio you ever interviewed around the whole world. Trust me. You gonna remember this night. But as far as our chemistry in the studio. How we normally do it, we play a beat, we find a beat that we all like, and we sit there and vibe to it, and okay, say, Odog, come up with a concept, we run off that concept, uh-huh. She kind of might think of a little catchy hook, you know what I mean, Playo might add something to that hook, bam, the hook's uh-huh. done, and then individually we all write our own verse.
Ah, cool. So, as far as the creative inspiration goes, when do you guys find that you get that creative like spark? Where does it happen? Will you just be like driving down the street or in the shower or something like that? Because I have found it just kind of pops up at the most spontaneous and weirdest places. Like oh my god,
yeah,
that's a cool.
Yeah,
cool
you
idea.
Ain't never lie. It was a time where, I mean, inspiration comes from, like you say, some of the craziest times. Like, I was eating one time, and I was hearing some lyrics in my head, and I wrote them down on a napkin that I was, I was supposed to use to write my hands on. You know what I mean? So, you do think of your most creative stuff, like, outside of the studio when you just out and about in life, and you seeing shit, and you hearing stuff,
uh-huh.
and it puts ideas to your mind,
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. The some of my weirdest like inspirations or whatnot have always happened. Like I've had to like write it down on a napkin or something. Like I'll be at like a fucking Denny at like 3 a.m. trying to sober up, and it's like. I overhear some conversation of, a couple of drunks behind me eating, eggs and ham and pancakes, and be like, holy shit, that's a great idea for a poem or a great idea for a comic strip or something. You get the weirdest ideas. It's like, boom, it just, you don't know when it's going to happen. Or I'll be in the shower, just wash myself off.
When
like,
we in the shower, I think when we in the shower, we all think we can sing, so.
That does seem to be like a common thing. Like people in the shower think they can sing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be singing my ass in the shower. I'll be on my, I think I'm Drake when I'm in the shower.
Great. You guys are great, man. I tell you, it really inspires me to see creative folks, you know, from the Midwest, such as Number One Player, making it happen. And you guys are making it happen because, you know, screw the West Coast, the East Coast, and all of them. Yeah, they've had their time, but it's time for the Midwest, you know, this area, to, you know, step it up. And you guys are definitely stepping it up.
Yeah, man, it's definitely time for the Midwest to go ahead and knock some of these doors down, and you know, and put our footprints in this music industry, because you know, Midwest is slept on. I just don't understand it. Why every other area but the Midwest, you know, got plenty of artists that came out the area and became successful. In Midwest, we only got a few artists. Like that don't make sense to me. So you know, Number One Players, our job is to keep hitting the pavement, keep doing what we got to do to make sure we put on for our city and our region as a whole.
Right, absolutely. You guys are doing some great stuff. You know what? How about we play one more song and just wrap it up here, because we have another guest coming up here in just a few minutes. Man, you guys, I mean, honestly, you guys have been great, and I'm a fan because, you know, I'm from Ohio, so I'm right there next to Indiana. And
so we talked out there, man, at Club Ritz out there in Dayton, Ohio before.
What's that? Dayton, Ohio?
In Dayton, Ohio at Club Ritz.
Really? When?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is actually like in 2008, 2009, somewhere around that time, you know what I'm saying? But we definitely came out there. We tore it up out there, man. We had fun in your area, man.
Wow. Well, you know what? We have to stay in touch, because if you guys come anywhere close to Dayton, Ohio, we're, you know, wow. Again, I mean, yeah, it'd be super awesome to meet you guys. And, see you perform live and all that. And, man, that would be great.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely be in touch.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I say, yeah, we'll definitely be in touch, man. Anytime we come in the area, man, we're definitely going to hit you up, let you know what's up.
Yeah, right. Us Midwest folk, we got to stick together. All right. Yeah, I'm not kidding, though. I'm being serious. I'm really serious about this stuff.
Most definitely.
And, yeah, all right, so Stumping on My Last Girl, Stumping on My Last Girl. Here we're going to go. We're going to stunt on our last girl. What's that mean exactly? I got to ask, what's the inspiration for that title? What's that mean, Stunting on My Last Girl?
You got me stunting on my last girl.
Last girl, last
that means, you know what I'm saying, anytime you've been in a relationship, you know what I'm saying, you break up, you know what I'm saying, You always want to do better than your last situation. You feel me? You want to do better than your ex. You know what I'm saying? So whenever you get a girl that makes like you doing better than your ex, better than your last situation, you know what I'm saying? Then you stunning on your last girl. You feel me?
Perfect. That makes sense to me. That's perfect. All right, stunning on my last girl. Then we'll be right back. We'll listen to this. We'll be right back. We'll wrap it up, guys. You guys have been great. I'm telling you, I love it. I can't believe you guys been in my area before, too.
Southern smoke, baby.
You got me stunting on my last girl. 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 stuntin' on my last girl.
You're shittin' like,
you got me stuntin' on my last girl.
You're shittin' like,
you got me stuntin' on my last girl.
You're shittin' like,
you got me stuntin' on my last girl.
You're shittin' on her, you're shittin'
on my last girl.
You are so Ugah, you are so Janet Jackson. I'ma play Tupac, guess you could say I'm lucky. First seven crap shooter, cause you are so motherfucking hot. So July plus, you got a mind on you, and your body ludicrous, got that shaking some fries on you. I think I'm craving you. My last girl played a lot of games like a stadium. That's why you're shitting on her like an 8 month baby. I do appreciate you, I love to see you smile. I don't remember my last girl, you got me stuck on right now. You're like a blunt and nice loud, and I'm just how to relax me. So I'ma hold you down like an and weak, ain't gonna trip about the past, girl. Fuck stuntin', baby, you shittin' on my last girl. And I know you probably don't believe me at times. Just put this song on repeat and you're riding.
You got me stuntin' on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl.
Turner.
Stunting on my last girl.
Booty fatter, my chick better. Stunting on my last girl. She get sick to her stomach when she see you make her ass hurl. It look like I'm on now, and you ain't a part of that world. Now she look at her dude crazy like he ain't what he do lately. Probably cause I'm on the pop and I'm stunting with my new lady. She doing bad with that old nigga, they making food stamp babies. LOL, I'm doing well in your situation, boo as hell. I'm through with you, I moved on and I kept going like Duracell. You still stuck in that same spot, your life ain't shit, kill yourself. Swagging on my old girl like who the fuck is old girl. Treat her like she don't exist, she dead to me, black roses. My new chick is the coldest, my new chick is the coldest. Everything real, I mean, ain't nothing bogus. Everything thick, I mean, everything swollen. From my purse game sack and I bought
you got me
stuntin'
on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl. You got me stuntin' on my last girl. Stunting on my last girl.
You downgraded, yeah. And I upgraded, yeah. When you see us together, you looking frustrated. I was sucking on you, now we stunting on you. I see the stress of your face, it's constructing on you, yeah. I can tell you shitty, we was shaking ditty. You was sick and pretty, now you hitting skinny. You on the wrong mission, calling my phone, bitch. Y'all the same age, but she on her own business. She on some boss shit, you on that lost shit. Your breath smell like ass, cause all you do is talk shit. And you gold plated, generic. She 14, Carrie, and Jerry. And she keep me happy like a kid on Christmas Day. So I buy diamonds, Lisa Ray. This is why my attitude started shifting on you. She throw her tools up.
You got me stunting on my last girl. 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 Stunting on my last girl. You got me stunting on my last girl. You got me stunting on my last girl. You got me stunting on my last girl.
You
stunting on my last girl.
Saw them smoke.
Hold up, nigga. You gotta taste that weed, pussy nigga. I'm talking about that chick, you man. Know what I mean? I'm finna light one up for the world famous DJ Small, nigga. My brother, nigga. AKA Mr. Southern Smoke, nigga. Fuck you saying, boy.
You guys. Wow. Stunting on your last girl there, huh? Okay. So yeah, how much have you stunted on your last girl?
Yeah, that's one right there, man. Females gonna love that song right there.
That's great. Stunning on my last girl. Yeah. All
right. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Hey, you're building my ego.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, yeah. You guys, obviously, what if you was really inspired to write this song? Somebody stunned on their last girl. Something fierce.
I ain't gonna lie, I think we were just high as hell. We was in the studio, you know. Just,
what do you guys fess up? Just fess up.
What'd you say?
I said, what do you guys need to fess up? Who stunted on the last girl that inspired this?
Oh man, I knew situations, you know. My verse personally, you know, my verse I was talking about the mother of my child. and the girl I was with at the time, you know. So, you know, it was inspired by a real life situation. I know my verse was inspired by my real life situation that was going on.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
What? Hello? Hey, you guys have been great. Number one player.
Right.
Put us in the game. Put us in the game too, second
that.
Quarter. And yeah.
Oh,
definitely. You guys,
for free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's end with that. Let's let everybody know, you guys let everybody know how they can find your music and they can hear your stuff and be in contact with you guys, like via Twitter, Facebook, or whatnot.
You can find us on Twitter at Number One Players.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
you got me cracking up, man. You can find us on Twitter. Are you guys getting high right now?
No.
You sound like you're choking on some of that Gary Indiana weed there.
I just want to smoke my weed, fuck my bitch, and count my money.
You guys sound like you're choking on the Gary Indiana weed. It's some rough shit.
But for real though, they can find us at Twitter
yeah.
at Number One Players. They can find us at Instagram at Number One Players.
Yeah.
They can find us on Facebook, Official Number One Players, and
uh-huh.
just search deathpimp.com. Search on deathpimp.com Number One Players, and both our mixtapes will pop up. You know, download both of them joints. They're both classic mixtapes, and you know, hey, we just need everybody to fuck with us. You know, we trying to do big things and represent for our city. So we just need to support. You know, I promise you, y'all will love the music. You know, we make great music. We don't make none of that popcorn shit. We've been doing music for a long time. All our music comes from the heart. You know what I mean? Hey, and just support the people that's making the good music. You know what I mean? Number One Players. You know, put us in the game. It's a campaign. Gary Indiana, stand the fuck up. We out here.
Right. Hey. Yeah. I know. You guys are doing anything but the popcorn shit. And that's one of the reasons I'm excited to have you guys on tonight. You guys have been fun and great. Swear to God, you guys have been great. And, you know, I love your sound. And I'm a big rap fan myself. You know, I grew up, I'm probably way older than you guys. And I grew up with my favorite bands were like N.W.A. and Eazy-E.
We got a track that you're gonna love on Put Us in the Game 2 second quarter. This track number 12 is called Fuck the Police. You know what I'm saying? So
fuck
if you fuck
police,
with N.W.A.
I saw that.
That's cool.
That's an homage to Fuck the Police.
Track.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard it. I get it. Yep. Absolutely. That's awesome. You guys have been great. And we definitely, I mean, we got to stay in touch. And thank you so much for being on, guys. Number One Players, I tell you. Number One Players, Put Us in the Game. Second quarter, out now, right, on DatPiff. And Number One Players, Put Us in the Game. And these fellas, they've been on CBS Sports, and they're on CBS Sports like 2-3 times a week. I mean, that's, you know, that's very admirable. And you guys, plus that, you guys are just laid back and down to earth and just, goddamn, just fun to hang out with here. I love it. You guys have been great, you know, and it's just, and go Midwest. Screw the East Coast and the West Coast. Go Midwest.
yeah, Midwest, we in here, man. GI-219, you know what I'm saying? POCOCGN1P, that's the initials. Players on top of the game, we in here. Number One Players, we out here, man. It's been fun. We fucks with y'all.
It's been great, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out. I look forward to talking to you guys again sometime in the future here. We definitely have to stay in touch. Guys?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Definitely, man.
Yeah. Take it easy, guys. All right. Good night.
All right, man. We'll talk to you later, man.
Yeah.
All right,
later.
All right,
adios. All right. Wow. We just had Number One Players on. They got some really cool stuff going on right now. We're gonna take a quick Puff the Magic Dragon break and see if what we can come up with next. Puff the Magic Dragon is always good when the hosts have to take a pee break. You know, here we go. Puff the Magic Dragon also is like a metaphor for being puffy in a very, very phallic good way.
The magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop the magic dragon by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolic in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sails. Jackie the lookout perched on Pop's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Pop roared out his name. Oh, Pop the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry
relieve my puppy. My puppy. That's your
puppy.
Why, you, how about the number one players? Man, they got a lot of good, cool shit coming out here and a lot of good shit going on, and it was fun to have them. They were pretty fun. and from Gary, Indiana, of all places. Come on, Gary, Indiana. What do you guys think?
Hello?
Gary, Indiana, for me, has always just been a stop right outside of Chicago. That's it.
I think it is a stop for many people just on the way to Chicago.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's right outside of Chicago, so, you know, it's perfect if you're passing through because you don't want to stop inside of Chicago.
Right, right. So, hey, all right. So, I mean, yeah, these guys have, they have a lot going on. They somehow tapped into the whole CBS Sports and everything, and is helping to really propel their career. And I
oh, man, that's,
you know,
that's cool.
I admire
CBS that. Looked them up.
I know. Holy shit.
That's like the American dream right there. You know, all of a sudden you
it
get contacted by CBS. Jesus.
I mean, how often does that happen?
That's amazing. Which is good to show, you know, how talented they are, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they have their own studio, and they're just making this stuff happen.
Now,
but,
now Dr. Quinn is going to stalk them, right, Quinn? You're going to become a groupie?
Yeah, oh, she's already a groupie.
Well,
she lives right there next door to them.
Yeah, I could have been down there, like I said, in 15 minutes. I know exactly where they were at.
They were ready to party with you, Dr. Quinn. It sounds like they were ready to party.
Well, I am hoping that either you took down their number or they respond to the PM I sent, because I'm going to hit them up next week for a story. What I was going to ask them is, I've never heard of them before, you know, we interviewed them, and I was going to ask them, you know, what they do around the city and what kind of, I mean, this is kind of a big deal, and what kind of props the city, you know, is the city, are they on the city's radar? Because I'm quite sure they know a lot of the same people I do. They may
want to stay under the radar.
When it comes to Dr. Quinn, don't you
I kid. No, but
hey, you know,
again, talking about, you know, positive stories coming out of the city, you know, that's a pretty damn big deal. And I'm a little bit shocked that, you know, the city is usually really good about promoting its own. So why I've not heard of these guys, I'm kind of like, huh, interesting. So I would have liked to have asked them, and maybe that's something that I will ask in my story, but,
right.
Yeah,
well,
I would have liked some thoughts on that.
Well, you know what, we have our second featured guest here coming right up. I think we need to get Pleasant Gaiman. I hope I'm not butchering her name, because I'm horrible with names. I really am. But Pleasant Gaiman, she's also known as Princess Thrana, as a belly dancer. She has so much going on. She is like a total renaissance woman. I mean, oh my God. She acts. She dances, she writes, she paints, and she has a new book called Showgirl Confidential, published by Punk Hostage Press. Coming up, I think they're having their big shindig here coming up on Sunday there in California. She lives in Hollywood, California, and you know what? We're going to bring her on right now. But you know what? Before I bring her on, I want to put on a little little piece by her. This is called Cooking with Ray by Pleasant Gaiman. And Pleasant Gaiman, after this, we're going to bring you on, honey, and we are going to talk. You have so much going on. It's going to be fun and exciting. Here we go. Cooking with Ray.
Good old Ray, he's a blast from the past, an echo from a room filled with the smoke of Havana cigars, high stakes and hot crap games and champagne cocktails for the ladies, sharkskin suits and tooled leather Mexican boots, caddies when they knew how to build them, back in the days when men were men and women were dames, desert suites, fountains lit up at night, an apartment on Hollywood and Vine full of old issues of The Hollywood Reporter and The Racing Forum. Ghosts of mob connections hiding in the Venetian blinds. He's the kind of guy who knew every bartender and every cabbie in town. The kind of guy who used to date chorus girls in Vegas. They loved him because he always remembered their names. He used to be a big band leader, but now Ray hangs out with underground bands who play rock and roll in Hollywood. With his capped teeth and his slicked back hair, he'll talk to anyone who listens. Ray says, "Oh, I knew Marilyn personally. She was a tramp. She'd screw anyone if she thought it would get her somewhere. Ha, ha, ha." Always the laugh. He knows every corny joke in the book. He's got a stag party sense of humor. X-ray specs appeal. It's a pinky ring kind of laugh. He walked out on his third wife, Joanne, in 66, while she was ironing. Ray says, "Oh, I fed her the oldest line in the book. I told her I was going to go and get a pack of smokes. Ha, ha, ha." He's the sort of man who really appreciates a good set of gas. Ray says, "I was watching the Poseidon Adventure on TV. Now I got the hots for Stella Stevens. Ha, ha, ha." He's gotten elbow-nudging, flask-carrying, golf-playing, fanny-grabbing sensibility. He's got a white patent leather aura around him. Good old Ray.
Test, test, 1, 2, 1, 2. We got a little static there. Yeah, that was, wow. That was a little piece there by our next featured guest, Pleasant Gaiman. I mean, I'm telling you, this woman, she has so much going on. So exciting. You know, I mean, it's just, poet, actress, writer and everything. And she has this new book coming out, Showgirl Confidential, from Punk Hostage Press. And, oh, man, yeah. I think she's going to be a pretty fun and exciting person to talk to. And, you know, maybe we can pick her brain a little bit. And, you know what, let's bring her on.
Oh, my gosh. I hope I'm not butchering her name because, you know what, I am semi retarded and I am horrible with names. If I'm butchering your name, Pleasant Gaiman, I just... give, you know, this is a heads up. And you know what? Feel free to correct me and have fun with it. All right. We'll bring it on Pleasant Gaiman. Pleasant Gaiman.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. You said my name right, too. Say my name.
Wow.
Well, that's a first, Brian.
It is a first. Wow. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. How are you? You guys are cracking up. I was listening to. What are you on? No.
Are we on?
Besides the radio.
I'm on Poetry Grenades.
You're on what?
I'm on Poetry Grenades. It's a combination of Diet Pepsi and vodka. But anyhow,
it's a poetry
wow.
grenade. That's awesome.
That's what they're called because they, you know, you, as soon as you open one up. They explode all over your lap. But anyhow, hey, it's great to have you on. truly.
Thank you.
I mean, wow.
I'm calling you from the dressing room of a belly dancing gig.
Are you
I'm
really?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, I'm totally. I just kicked the owner out of the dressing room, and I said I have to do an interview.
That's classic. Wow, I like that. Thank you. Thank you for kicking
You're
people
welcome.
Out. Yeah. So, okay. And the whole, okay, well, you're talking about Princess Verona. I mean, yeah. Well, we'll get to that. But, you know, more importantly, you got this new book coming out called Showgirl Confidential, right? From Pope
yeah.
Hostage Press. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's monthly all touring stories.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, they're making noise in the kitchen. Go ahead. You ask me a question, and I'll answer it, because I'm just hearing a bunch of sound types.
I don't even know where to start with you. I mean, you have so much going on,
and you, oh my gosh, you're, I mean, you're an actress, you're a poet, mm-hmm. you're a writer. I mean, mm-hmm. what?
Belly dancer.
Yeah, belly dancer. Where did this creative impulse come from, and where did it start? I mean, first of all.
I don't know. It's kind of always been like that. Like, I was always just doing stuff. I mean, I had it, like anybody else, I had a bunch of, like, really crappy temp jobs, or maybe like anybody else in Hollywood. I think outside of Hollywood, New York, a lot of people have jobs that are regular jobs that they hate, not temp jobs that they hate. but you know, I started writing a lot when I was a teenager, and then I
yeah.
started, but of course I cut typing class all the time to get stoned. Because I didn't think I was really going to be a writer. I wrote some reviews for rock and roll magazines because I would, like, read some of them and I'd be like, I could write better than that. And I was all, you know, like, bratty and, you know, like, big shot 16-year-old. So I went to a couple of, you know, because I my primary goal was, like, I just wanted to get free records and free tickets. So I was really cocky. So I went to some concerts and I wrote reviews of it longhand, but then I had to stay up all night typing it with Hunt and Peck, you know what I mean? And so I uh-huh. sent them into different magazines and they all got, like, taken. And then the editors were, every one of them said, do you have more? So at that point, and I know this sounds like I'm making it up, but I'm not, I said, I said to myself, oh, okay, well, you know, now that I'm in, so the next stories I wrote were in, like, ballpoint pen on, like, that school lined paper with the holes in it.
Right.
No, seriously, I know only someone that was 16 could be that retarded. Anyway, one of them didn't say anything, and then I had to tell one of them that my typewriter was broken, and then the other one, like, he knew kind of how young I was. And he was like, do you think you could type this next time? And I was like, oh, sure, just acting like it was an oversight. And then so I had to learn how to type really fast.
That's great.
And then I just went on from there, you know. Like, I mean, I was like, rock and roll kind of became my whole life. And then I started booking bands, which I also started doing when I was, like, around 17. Because by that time I had started a fanzine. This was in the 70s. And then, I had a fanzine called Lobotomy.
Really?
The brainless magazine. Yeah, but then I changed it to Lobotomy, where glamour is a way of life, because I stole that from the Fredericks of Hollywood shopping bags. And it totally, glamour was not a way of life. I mean, we were totally, like, scary punk house people, you know? But, then, you know, then I had my own band and started going on tour. And then one night at a rock and roll club, like, we're, like, into 1990. I toured, like, on the road with, like, my girl band and some of my other bands I was in. By 1990, I was just dancing. I was at some gig at this place called Club Lingerie in L.A. And this chick came up to me on the dance floor, and she asked if I was a belly dancer. And I said, no way. And she said, because you move like one. And I thought that was really cool because I'd always been kind of obsessed with it, like, God only knows why, because it's not, like, in my culture. And then all of a sudden it clicked into my mind, and I was like, why are you a belly dancer? And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, my God, I want to see you, you know. And then I saw her, and then I was like, teach me. And she didn't teach, but she directed me to people who did. And then somebody, a friend of mine, because this was, you know, years before September 11th, a friend of mine gave me a ticket to Greece, and I just added on Cairo, quit my jobs, and just failed, and I was gone for, like, 8 weeks, and then all I did there was, like, watch dancers and learn dancing, and I got some costumes, and then I've gone there once or twice a year since then, and for the past, like, I guess 5 or 6 years, I've danced there, you know, like, professionally and taught there, too, at festivals.
Really? Wow. So,
I know,
it's insane, huh? I have to say, I'm a little intrigued that you, I mean, you were, a singer for some punk rock bands, right? At one point,
yeah.
I mean, what was that like?
It was awesome.
In the late 70s and early 80s?
It wasn't,
I mean,
yeah. No, in the late 70s, I was, that's when I was doing my fanzine. And in the early 80s, uh-huh. I started an all-girl band called the Screaming Sirens. And Screaming Sirens, yeah. You know, because you know,
yeah.
like that Jason and the Argonauts myth. Like
right.
we,
yeah,
we
I
drove,
know. I know what it's
we drove
sirens.
Men
yeah,
to
yeah.
death with our songs. But at first, I think it was just because we played so bad. But yeah. So I wanted us to look like a cross between like you know the Hell's Angels and like Miss Kitty from Gunsmoke, and that's kind of what we looked like and we sounded.
That's great. I'm sorry.
And we sounded kind of like Patsy Cline meets the Ramones.
Yeah, in Bonanza.
No, totally. Yeah, yeah, Bonanza. And wait, what was the drunk's name on Gunsmoke?
No, Festus?
Gunsmoke. I was in love with Festus, the drunk. That figures, doesn't
Fester?
It?
Fester or not Fester? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Festus, the drunk on Gunsmoke.
Oh, God. I can't remember his name. He had, like, a gimp. He was gimpy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was great. He was tragic.
Right, right. That's great.
You guys are in Gary, Indiana?
I'm sorry, what?
Are you guys in Gary, Indiana?
No, we're not in Gary, Indiana. The rap group. We just interviewed is from Gary, Indiana.
I can say
you're right outside of Gary. Come on now, I'm right outside of it.
Well,
yeah, Quinn is.
Quinn is? Yeah,
yeah.
The rest of us are not.
Gary, Indiana. Brian Fugier is at an undisclosed location.
Isn't there some weird hum going on underground in Gary, Indiana? Have you guys heard about that?
No.
No.
Oh, it's like some total conspiracy theory, Sasquatch, flying saucer, awesomeness. There's supposed to be like some weird like sub, you know, like it's like a really bassy, like low frequency like hum going on that's driving people insane. Probably from, like, the reptilians that live under the earth.
Well, that would explain what's wrong with Quinn.
Yeah.
I have never heard that. That's hilarious. Every week. I have never heard that.
Yeah.
Huh. I
you mean you never heard the hum or you never heard the...
No, neither. I've never heard that there was a hum and I've never heard the actual hum itself.
Wow.
Oh, that's
good to know.
Don't let Dr. Quinn fool you. She's heard the hum more than once.
She's probably controlled by it. She's controlled by the Illuminati and the hum.
Yes,
exactly.
The Illuminati.
Well, hey, I have to ask you. You worked on a film, and you were in a film called Firecracker.
Oh, right? Yeah, I've been in a lot more since then, yeah.
A lot more since then, okay. Well, what was that experience like? I mean, what...
Well, Firecracker was pretty awesome because it was a movie that took place in Kansas, and it was about the murder that occurred on the 4th of July. And
based
the
on
crazy
story
was...
Or?
Yeah, based on a true story, and we shot in the house where the murder was committed. That was wild.
Dude, that's kind of
and
creepy. What was
it was
like?
Really creepy. It was really creepy, and also the carnival that was the background for the movie was also the same carnival that had been coming there for like the past like 50 or 60 years. So, I mean, that was bizarre, and the guy had just gotten out of jail, the guy that was the murderer in that. And then also... it had Karen Black in it, who just recently died, the actress Karen Black, you know, from Airport and Day of the Locust and a bunch of other Five Easy Pieces, lots of other movies. But I've done, like, a ton of movies since then. And one of them was with Karen Black, too, and also Mink Stole from the John Waters movies, and it was called Stuck.
Oh,
and it was a black and white women's prison movie. Like based on those 60s ones. So that was awesome. That was like my acting gig come true. a B-movie, black and white B-movie about women's prison and acting with, like, Minx Soul and Karen Black. I was just out of control. Minx Soul was my cellmate.
So, okay, so do you, I mean, do you, you live in, obviously, you live, you're from, you live in Hollywood. Do you have
yes.
a lot of experience, like, with, you know, filmmakers or whatnot, or in the film industry?
I live here, and I've done a lot of, like, film work.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I have a movie coming out this weekend. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm in a movie called The Far-Flung Star that's making its debut appearance at the Raindance Film Festival in London.
Really?
And, yeah, the
wow.
whole, like, the director and a lot of the cast went there already, but by the time that they found out that this, you know, that the film had been accepted, and that was when it was, and his show was on the 30th, like I already had this book release already booked. So I'll see it when it comes up. But I got to play I play a crazy washed up B movie actress in that, and I get to do kung fu, and I get to kill, like, because I'm in all these movies within the movies, so we had to act really bad on purpose. It was pretty amazing. Like, it was so hard not to crack up. Like, there's this
right.
one where there was one called, like, Lost Lovers at Hell Lake. That was one of the movies within the movie. And I had to
right.
kill this guy by, like, stabbing him in the stomach, and I got to yell, so long, lover. It was
great.
Awesome.
Yeah. That just definitely sounds awesome. Man, so, you know, okay, so much for, you know, acting and being an actress and all that, but how about you as a writer, as a poet, and all that? I mean, what's that been like for you?
Well,
you're so diverse. I mean, and I admire that in someone. You know, I find people who are diverse. They're actors, actresses, writers, poets, and that's amazing to me that people can be that diverse. What's that been like for you, as far as compared to being an actress and all that, but being a poet and a writer?
I love to write. Like, I didn't realize how easy writing came to me until you know, when I was interested in belly dancing and I started dancing and I found out, I mean, I was a natural dancer, but when I found out, you know what I mean, like, I like to dance, I would dance at parties, and that was even how the whole thing started. But I didn't realize how much work I had to put into things, like, you know, learning about the other culture for belly dancing, learning about Arabic cultures and, you know, just all the differences, time signatures and the music and stuff, and then just all the technique, learning it and really ingraining it into my body, because all the time signatures are different a lot. And, it, you know, it wasn't until then that I, like, really stopped, like, taking my writing for granted, because I really, I'm not, like, bragging, but it was just, that was, like, a totally just natural, I could just always do it, you know? I, like,
right.
And then I used to just think that, like, everyone could sort of write as easily as me, and then I found out that they didn't. So I've always written, but this is actually the first book of mine that's come out in 13 years, because I've been traveling, like, all over the world to teach and perform belly dance and burlesque, like, just nonstop for at least the past 10. So, like, this year I was, before June, I was just solidly gone from L.A., except for, like, 5 days one time and 6 days another time. I was on a movie set in January, and then I was, like, in the U.K. and in Australia and Hawaii and Turkey and a bunch of places in the U.S. and, you know what I mean, just touring around and dancing. And
yeah.
I started writing this book, Showgirl Confidential. It was just, you know, a collection of crazy road stories from punk rock to the Arab Spring, pretty much. But a lot of this got written either at airports or, like, at hotel rooms when I'd be, like, just ping awake at, like, 4 a.m. with total jet lag somewhere. Yes, come on in. Sorry. I also have another book coming out in November, in the end of November, and this is just a coincidence that they both came out sort of at the same time. And it's called The Belly Dance Handbook. And it's not like a how-to
uh-huh.
book. It's kind of just like a lifestyle book for dancers. But, you know, probably your audience wouldn't be as interested in that as they would with this one.
Right.
You know, it's more,
well,
that one's more like a niche book.
Right, right. Well, you know, I find it fascinating. I mean, here you're talking about you've been traveling internationally as Princess Verona. Am I pronouncing that
yes.
right? I'm
sorry. Okay.
You know, with the ballet dancing, Verona. I'm terrible with names. I apologize.
Ha-na.
Verona.
Ha-na. You can just call me Verona.
I'll never get it right. No, but seriously.
That's okay. You can just call me Your Majesty.
Your Majesty. I like that even better. Your Majesty.
Yeah, that's
so. Yeah. Your belly dancing career and all that has been like a huge thing for you, right? I mean, it hasn't not.
Yes.
And it's influenced you as a writer and as just an artist in many ways. And this came about like later in your life, right? This wasn't something that just suddenly popped up. Right
now, I started doing it when I was like 30. I was just over the age of 30, you know, which is
uh-huh.
kind of crazy because I wasn't one of those kids that grew up with like ballet, tap, and jazz.
Right.
So I've been doing it for like, you know, 23 years now. So you do the math.
Wow. Uh-huh. Do the math.
I'm a cougar. Yep.
Well, all I can say is I admire what you're doing, and you look great from all the pictures I've seen and all that. And so yeah, cougar or not. Seriously, I admire what you're doing and what you have going on, and the fact you can balance so much. You can balance, you know, this belly dancing and all that, and being a writer and an actress, and it's just that to me is amazing. Not many people can do it. You know, I can barely balance myself on a toilet half the time. But
it just seems kind of normal to me. You know, like I couldn't imagine
really?
Myself having like a regular job or I don't know. My whole family is like let's put it this way. My cousin, my like 20-year-old cousin that just was visiting last week. She's the youngest human cannonball in Ringling Brothers Circus that they've ever had.
What? Wait. No.
Yes,
I'm not
totally
You're not
serious. Kidding. Her name is Eliana Grace. There, she's got videos all over YouTube.
Wow.
I know. How can I make? Why would I pick that to make up? No, but I mean, my whole family is just like it's not a usual family. So, I mean, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in my book, too. In Showgirl
mm-hmm.
Confidential, there's, like, it starts off.
Come on in.
Okay, my publisher just walked in. For the...
Your publisher
oh my
just
God.
Walked in. Oh.
Wait, he just gave me a shot.
Update.
He just gave me a shotgun for a lighter. Here, wait, say hi.
Oh,
who
is it?
Is it Michelle? No. Ah, I didn't do it. I was framed. Hi, who's this?
Hello,
what?
Who is this? Who is this?
This is Iris Berry. It's my publisher.
Iris Berry.
Publisher and
welcome.
Partner in crime.
Iris Berry, welcome to Nothing to Lose. We've been talking to, my gosh, she has so many monikers here. Pleasant Gaming and Princess Farhana.
Princess Farhana. I know,
We've been pumping and pimping her, Showgirl Confidential. Wow, and this woman has so much going on. It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty damn amazing. It's beyond amazing. It should be in the Guinness World Book of Records.
Absolutely. Wow.
Right?
Update. Iris Berry
yeah.
is now on. Iris Berry.
Welcome,
Iris Berry.
Thank you. You know where this interview is coming from, don't you?
I'm sorry, what?
You know where this interview is coming from, don't you?
Where is it coming from?
From our dressing room. From our dressing room. It doesn't get any more show girl than this.
That makes it even better.
We're waiting for the half-naked roadie to come in with grapes and... yeah, the oil spray boys to come in with some grapes for us, and you know we're just getting ready for our massages, and then we're gonna go do another radio show. It's kind of like that, you know. just the way our job is.
So who comes in for the massages? Who performs these massages?
Oh, here, I'll let Pleasant tell you. Bye, nice hugging you. Who comes in for massages?
Hi. Okay, it's Pleasant again. What do we sound alike? Do me and Iris sound alike?
You guys do kind of sound alike. So that was the Iris Berry. The Iris Berry.
I know, Iris just, she brought me a double-barreled shotgun lighter just now. And we each have one. So I was making her freeze while she was on the phone with you.
Wow. The trickery. The trickery.
Yeah. Did you like that cooking with Ray? That piece? Hello?
Hello?
Did I disconnect you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you totally fine. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. Yes. Did you like that piece cooking with Ray?
Yeah.
You know that that music behind it was really him. That was his big band from the '50s.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
He said he got it.
We have another piece by you here.
Oh, I know what one it is.
Horny? Can we play a little horny here?
Of course, play it.
It's late at night, and I think we all are a little intoxicated or in our dressing rooms, and we feel horny. Let's play a little Pleasant game and horny real quick. Here we go.
I was too young to realize it at the time, but I was constantly horny. Every time Astro Boy blasted off and the little flame shot out of his red boots, I got so excited I could barely contain myself. Every time Spider-Man shot webs from his wrists,
I know.
Died a little inside.
I just did it today.
The fact that he didn't
hell?
Have a mouth drove me wild. I would be glued to the Addams Family, so blindly in love with Sting that I didn't
really?
Even notice what he was. A disembodied hand
oh,
that lived
do?
In a box.
I haven't tried that yet.
And
oh,
every time
stupid.
Lurch said, "You rang," it's
why
a
did
shiver
I do that?
My spine. I would lay in front of the television set. I would lay almost under the television set,
first world
craning
problem.
My neck and twisting my head, trying to look up Tarzan's loincloth. If I was the only girl
I know,
left on
you know
earth,
what? I'm going
to
tell him
to choose
that
just
I gotta go
one
to.
Man, who would I pick?
It's almost Mo, because like, they want to go too, I think.
Or Curly. Looking back on it all now, I realize that it would have to be Shemp.
Oh, good. Hello?
Yes.
Hey.
Was that made me horny.
You could make me horny if you shot radioactive flames out of your mouth. Godzilla, you melt my heart. No. Listen, dudes, we got to wrap it up a little because we really do have to go to another interview. I'm not kidding.
All right, hey, no problem. And you know what? Thanks so much for being on, and thanks for bringing on Iris Berry. Iris Berry, she's still there.
She's still here. And, you know, let me tell you guys out there in blog radio land that you can get Showgirl Confidential on Amazon right now. And then I'm just going to tell you because you're bad, you're nationwide, just like me, right? Aside from this reading in L.A. on Sunday, I'm going to be at the Continental Club in Austin, Texas on Monday,
really?
October 14th. Yeah. That show's free, and then I'll be setting up more shows. So anybody who wants to drop my blog, it's pleasantgaiman.blogspot.com, and there's always lots of silly news stories going up. Right now it's just my schedule, but there's usually some really horrific stories on the blog. Fun, horrific.
All right. Well, excellent. Thanks so much for being on. And
thank you.
Yeah, and just put Iris on for one more second.
I'll put it on for one second.
Hello. I haven't talked to Iris since, like, 2012. Come on.
Okay.
Hello?
Iris Barry.
Hello?
This is Brian, yes. W.Fuchet.
Hey, Brian. How are you, darling?
It's good. It's good to hear from you again. And you know what? It's really exciting that the books you guys have been putting out.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, let's all stay in touch. And thanks so much for bringing her
on.
Thank you. And, you know, yeah. And you know what? Haven't seen you since, what was it, Oakland back in 2012.
Oh, is this my Brian? Brian, is this you?
This is me, Brian W. Fuchet. Yes, I got my coffee dipshit guy. Who do you think?
Brian, I love you. Oh my God, I'm so happy to talk to you. I didn't know it was you. Oh my God,
who did you think it was?
I love
who the
you.
Fuck do you think I am?
I had no fucking idea. Thanks,
you
Brian.
Cracked,
this is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my
you
God,
cracked,
thanks for. I'm like bingo. Yeah, no, I didn't. I knew that Michelle wanted Pleasant, but I didn't know you were going to be doing the show. So this is great.
Oh, I do all.
Thank
I
you
do
for all your
shows.
Support.
Damn it.
Oh, you see, do you? Well, if you ever want to talk more about punk, Punkosh, we'd love to do the show.
Well, you know what? You got more books coming out from Punkosh. Did you know? Stay in touch, and
yes,
we'll promote.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, you should talk to. Maybe you should talk to Jack Grisham. He's a singer for KSOL. He just put his book out with us, too. Why are you laughing? Yeah, he's funny.
Yeah, I know. I agree. Yeah.
KSOL is a good band.
Absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
So they're a good band.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later. Hi. You and I will figure this all out. But thank you so much, Brian. And say hi to Michelle.
Yeah, and
here's
Kev. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, bye.
She was great. And you know what? Best of luck. And we will help promote this this book she has coming out here via Punk Hostage Press. Yeah, it seems to be a good one. She's got a lot going on. All right. Well, good night. Good night to you guys.
Good night.
And, yeah. All right. Have a
bye.
Good one.
Bye. Mwah.
Bye.
Hollywood Air Kids.
Well, there we go, boys and girls.
Yeah.
Oh boy, we got 8 minutes left in the show. How about, you know what? I feel violated. I need to just. I need a little summer's eve. I need to douche real quick. And you know what? We'll come back and, you know, if you guys want to stay on a little bit longer and just shoot the shit, I'm sure we could have some fun shooting the shit here for however long we want to. Let's do it, okay? All right, Mr. Gacinski and Dr. Quinn, let's shoot the shit before tomorrow, before we have to do 100,000 billion trillion puppets thing, all right? Let's do it, all right. Summer's eve.
Fresh is a walk through the woods on an early spring morning.
Fresh is a gentle breeze that takes you by surprise. Fresh is simple with Summer's Eve, the most convenient disposable douche you can buy. This exclusive one-piece unit means there's nothing to assemble. And it's available in two fragrances, or vinegar and water, the solution doctors recommend.
With Summer's Eve, freshness has never been simpler.
I'm dreaming of summer, cool breezes, fresh air. When I want that feeling, Summer's Eve takes me there. It's clean, fresh feeling, keeps the good times on my mind. Summer's Eve, bring back freshness anytime.
Bring back the fresh, cool, clean feeling of summer anytime with Summer's Eve.
It's clean, fresh feeling, keeps the good times on my mind. Summer's Eve, bring back freshness anytime.
Wow. A little Summer's Eve douche. And you know what? This is exactly what I do when I'm done with a douche. I love it.
a great show. Holy crap, we had
you douche into your toilet? Wouldn't it be easier to stand in the bathtub?
In the toilet. No, I douche my hairy asshole. Come on now, Mr. Gosinski, come on. Surely, you know what, Mr. Gosinski should be here tomorrow for the 100,000 Poets for Change. Gosh darn, that's the first time I ever, like, met him live, in person, was at 100,000 Poets for Change, up in Elyria,
that's
Ohio.
That's where we had those amazing bathrooms, yep.
Amazing bathrooms where I was dry heaving while videotaping you.
But no, I won't be there. I'll be here reading submissions for Regardless of Authority, which is due out October 1st.
October, and apparently Regardless of Authority will have a better, we'll be on time. We will publish on October 1st, whereas I get my coffee always is like 2 to 3 weeks behind.
You know, we actually, Brian, we might be behind this time. Because,
oh, wow.
We might not be on schedule. Well, you know, a lot. It's hard to get art. Nobody wants to send art. I don't understand why. And then when you ask somebody, hey, you know, want to send some photos, they send you like 40 of them. So it's really a weird thing. It is, because nobody wants to, like, send art, but then you ask somebody to send some art, and they're like, oh, man, I got a ton of stuff. I'll send you some stuff, no problem. So it's really, so we may not have enough photos. We'll see.
Well, sometimes you just have to improvise and just, take pictures of your, like, your left hand upon your penis in black and white.
Of course, you have to match.
I'm sure Alicia would really appreciate that, but I digress.
Is Zygo ever coming out or what?
I sure as hell hope so. Been having lots of technical problems, as you know, with that. But yeah, you guys have been doing great stuff with Regardless of Authority, and you guys have been garnering quite the audience with it.
We've had a ton of people are reading it, and it's awesome, you know, getting great submissions, because that's really, it comes out of submissions. I can only work with what people are sending, and they're sending some awesome poetry.
Yeah. Right. And Dr. Quinn, you are involved with Blotterature, which is also, How's that going as far as Blotterature? What's your impression? I got to ask you, Dr. Quinn, when is the debut issue of Blotterature going to occur? You know, I keep getting shit for just like a new issue of Zygo, but when's Blotterature number one going to fucking come out? You laugh, but the Gary Indiana Vapors would not laugh at that. They'd be like, bitch needs to proceed. No, seriously, go ahead.
November 1st is our end date for submissions. So at some point between then and January 1st of the year is, I believe, our target date. We are still woefully
is never a good term for any.
Are woefully devoid of creative nonfiction.
You know, you're not going to get creative nonfiction. I'm going to be straight up with you, Dr. Quinn. Creative nonfiction, not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Well, we got some. And
really? Was it good?
Yeah, we did. Very, very little, but we did get a few submissions, and...
All right. Oh, hey, I don't want to cut you off or anything, but we're getting ready to go into archives, guys. Are you ready to keep going? I'm ready to keep going. You guys ready to keep going a little bit?
Sure, sir.
Sure, sure.
Mr. Kaczynski? Dr. Quinn?
I'm here.
All right, you guys ready to go beyond the, you know, into the archives? I mean, we can, yeah, this will be fun. What do you guys think?
Oh, sure.
I can go for a while as long as my phone doesn't die.
Yeah, your phone dies. I'll be like, yeah, bullshit. All right, well, then we're going to go on. We're going to move on. All right. So, yeah, don't hang up. If you hang up, you can't call back in. We're going into archives in about 30 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great show, and, yeah, we're getting ready to go into archives here, and I'm talking with my co-hosts, Dr. Quinn and Mr. Kaczynski from, yeah, the Painted Post.
Yeah,
fucking Painted Post.
Postal.
You might go postal if you live there much longer.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody wants to come to Painted Post. My stepsister came to New York, and she didn't even come and visit me. She wouldn't even come to fucking Painted. She drove right by me, but no.
Really?
She wouldn't even stop in the post. I don't know. So.
Wow.
And what's fucked up? What's fucked up is she contacted me a couple months ago. I said, hey, I'm coming to New York State, and I'm going to visit my husband's family. They live, you know, like an hour from me. And she said, well, I want to come see you. I'm like, all right, great. And nothing, zero. Didn't even call me the whole trip. I watched her trip unfold on Facebook, and boom.
Wow, that's kind of sad. Pretty bad.
She went to Syracuse and, you know, and all that, but she didn't, nobody wants to see Painted Post.
I get the impression that Painted Post is, like, really, really out in the boondocks. I mean, seriously? Is that remote? I mean, what?
No, it's not that remote.
Not that
remote,
okay.
We have running water and...
You have running water.
Well,
okay.
Well, about 7 miles from here is the city, you know, is where Corning is. Corning is our big city around here, and it has 11,000 people. Our big city. So, which is nothing. So, but,
okay, because I believe my town has 19,000.
Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, wow. You think, yeah, well, you're in the Chicago area, though, so you're not far from.
No, she's around Gary, Indiana. Wait, where exactly are you from again, Dr. Quinn? Where exactly are you from again? Not quite Gary, Indiana.
I am
Indiana,
from a little town outside of Gary. I was born in Gary.
Oh, she was born in Gary. There you go.
I was born in Gary, but
my town, I just looked up. My town has 4,000 people, so we've got a lot.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
You know what, Kaczynski? You know, swear to God, last time I hung out with one of these 100,000 Poets for Change things, it was with you and Alethea. Remember? Fucker. And here we are tomorrow in a few hours. We're going to be there, you know. And no Alethea, no Kaczynski.
Nope. Fuck you, clown. She's working this weekend. That's kind of the problem, I think. She has, one of us has to have a real fucking job, so, you know.
Well, yeah.
Just sit around, you know, I could sit around and watch Friday the 13th all day, you know, I don't need to.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. You know what? I just miss you and Alethea. You know, I've hung out with you guys both more than, I mean, I've hung out with her twice and hung out with you once live in person and just wish you could be here. You know, because this is going to be my second, like, 100,000 poet thing.
I still have a tile that I ripped off the bathroom wall of the bar that we drank at. Remember that little dive bar with the scary stairs that, like, slanted downwards?
Oh, yeah, the dive bar where you could barely, like walk up and down the stairs, like, well, semi-sober, yeah.
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 And Dr. Quinn, Dr. Quinn is going to be here at this 100,000 billion trillion poet state tomorrow. And you know what? She's writing down with the one and only, the most reliable driver, Tim Murray, and Siren B.
And let's not forget Julie.
Is Julie coming too? Is the Julie?
Yes, Julie is coming.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
Julie is
right.
coming. Yeah, Serena, I from what I am told is probably sleeping on Julie's porch again. So I guess I am the first stop. I am the first stop on the train tomorrow because it would usually be Serena, then me, then Julie, but now it's going to be me and then Serena and Julie.
Too early for
you? You might want to pick her up a toothbrush because she can't go home before.
Wow. Okay.
Toothbrush. What are you going to kiss her? I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Well, no, she doesn't
have
any.
You gonna kiss her? What do you care about her dental hygiene? Does her breath smell that bad or what?
I'm just saying, you know, there, with copious amounts of alcohol, there could be,
I already have like a billion trillion ingredients here for.
Yeah.
The poetry grenade. So if anybody
What kind of vodka are you sporting?
It's shitty. Yeah, it's shitty. Goddamn generic
Walmart
vodka.
Walmart
vodka.
You Walmart sells vodka?
Yeah, my Walmart sells vodka.
No.
The one the same Walmart that's right, like, a block away from my house.
That's right behind the Great Clips and the and the restaurant. Yeah, I know where that's at.
Yeah, that's just too creepy, man. That is creepy that you can easily just do the satellite thing and
neighborhood. Is they blur out your license. They blur out the license plate numbers on the cars. So you can see the cars, but not the license plate numbers, and you can see the people in the cars at the time they took the satellite photo, so you can't see their fucking license plate. That doesn't make any sense.
That's pretty fucking creepy. you start blurring out people, and it's almost like, yeah, they're not real. They're just little action figures sitting in a little Fisher-Price car.
It's become
so desensitized,
man.
You know?
Well, what I don't understand is somehow, like, if I look myself up, I can find myself here, you know, address. But I don't have any bills, any credit card, nothing in my name. But somehow, Google knows I'm here, which is spooky.
It's true. It's Big Brother. I mean, there is no privacy. Whatsoever.
I guess it works well for people like Quinn, you know, reporters. You know, they can look shit up online, but you know.
Yeah, we are not all like hardcore reporters like Dr. Quinn, but. Oh Lord, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna toilet flush you guys. Just. Shit, I'm already fucking delirious. All right, you know, goddamn, it's been a great show again tonight, you guys. I swear to God. Dr. Quinn, any food suggestions for tomorrow for, you know, at the little 100,000 poets for change? We're going to change something. We might Dr. Quinn, we might piss off the Civil War reenactor.
Dr. Quinn, what you need to do tomorrow, Dr. Quinn, is you need to solicit submissions for nonfiction while you're there. No, it'll work. It'll work. I'm telling you. Get the words for Gladiator out.
You know, that would make a great... Oh, my God. Dr. Quinn, listen here. Listen here right now. This is something I would do along with you. I have a video camera. So...
God.
We get a little drunk. And of course, we will be. And we try to approach some of these Civil War reenactors and try to get them to interview them. Like, you pretend to be a reporter, and I'll be the camera guy.
Oh, it'd be great.
I've never war reenactments before.
Well, I have done
several of them.
And you know what? Here, I know a lot of, too. I mean, I'm a hardcore Civil War guy. I mean,
He's hardcore.
I am. I brought my kepi. I brought Civil War Union kepi with me. I'll have it on. I'll be the camera guy. Wouldn't it be funny as hell if we tried to interview some of these guys and videotaped it and then put it online?
You know, Brian, they do a big reenactment out here. They do a big reenactment out here once a year, Brian. It's fucking weird, man. It's front page of the paper. It's a big deal. People come from all over.
Really?
We had a major
battle from the Civil War in the Painted Post.
No, it was in Elmira, New York. They call it Hellmira or some shit like that.
Oh, yeah?
Hellmira!
It's a big deal.
Elmira.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Elmira's not bad. Elmira is actually where Samuel Clemens is buried. A lot of people come to see his grave. Mark Twain?
Yes.
So it's on the map, and they have Civil War reenactments, so we're not that far out in the boonies.
Okay, you know, Jasinski, your hard rock, your affinity for hard rock, you know.
Hard rock, shit, I'm going to see Elvis Costello in November. That ain't hard rock.
No, Elvis Costello is awesome. I've seen him live right here in my backyard. Literally like a couple blocks away. He's awesome. That's great. Okay, so
he just had a new album come out with The Roots.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's called, I think, Wise Up Ghost. It's some concept album about, I guess, slamming Barack Obama for promising so much and not giving anything, which is fucked up because Elvis Costello is Scottish. He's Scottish. What the hell do you care about American politics? It's fucked up. He's Scottish. What does he care? But anyway. So, but it's got the dude from The Roots does all the music, which is cool, and then Elvis does the vocals, and so anyway,
right.
Pretty happening. See,
all
I
right,
don't
well,
do listen to hard rock. Don't label me, man.
Enable you? Oh boy.
Label. Don't time. Label me.
A label? I thought you said enable.
Yeah, label.
Enable you? No. Enable you is the last thing I would want it to.
Oh, yeah.
That would be scary. All right, guys. I guess we're going to wrap this up. It's been a fun and another great show. And thank you so much, you know, for hanging out and making it a great show. You guys make
you
it
guys
fun for me.
You guys have fun out there, man.
Oh, yeah. And Dr. Quinn, I'll be seeing you in just
yes,
2 hours.
Yes, you will.
You crazy motherfucker. And, you know, yeah. Every time I hang out with Dr. Quinn, it was crazy motherfucking shit. Thank you guys so much. This has been another great show.
Tomorrow,
yeah.
Oh, I'll see you. All right. Good night, guys. And
bye.
Here we go. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Ta-ta.
We'll end with the toilet flush because we're full of shit.